So this morning, what I will be sharing with you has been something I've been thinking about for, I would say 4 to 6 months. And I haven't been thinking about it in the context of a sermon, because I didn't know that I would be having one. And I was just thinking about it in general as something that's valuable for life and something that is important to practice and something that is useful and just generally good. And it's something that we all recognize the importance of, and we all recognize the value of. Yet I think it's probably one of the first things that we forget to express and that we excuse ourselves from practicing. Its importance is fully understood, I think, when it doesn't happen, as in when somebody else doesn't do it, and we, in turn, maybe suffer a little bit because of it. Because when it doesn't happen, it tends to sting a little bit. It tends to hurt our feelings a little bit. We tend to feel a little bit slighted or something like that. So here's what it is. Have you ever done something nice for somebody that you wanted to bless them, or you were just doing something good to them? So you did it, and nothing. They didn't really respond. Like, okay. If you gave them a gift, and they're like, thank you, okay. They've got the gift. Or you did a nice act of kindness, and you were just met with nothing. Has that ever happened to anybody? I mean, it's happened to me. And I was thinking of a time that happened probably a year and a half ago. Nobody in this room. But I did something nice for somebody, and it completely got zero response. Like, I actually made a little effort, right? And it got absolutely nothing. And I remember thinking, huh, I really shouldn't have even bothered. Like, why did I go to the work of doing this if, it didn't mean anything, or it didn't benefit them, or something like that, right? So have any of you ever felt that way? I think we all probably have. And what that is that's when we do something for somebody and we are met with ingratitude. And so that's what I want to speak about today is the subject of gratitude and practicing gratitude with those in our lives. So I guess if this was to have a title, it would just be titled Gratitude or Gratitude in Real Life. So there's really nothing we can do about others being ungrateful, but there's something that we can do about ourselves, and we can be grateful people. And I believe that being grateful is something that is close to the heart of God, and I believe that God loves gratitude and a grateful heart. And the Bible speaks a lot about giving thanks and thanksgiving. And I believe that it is very important to God. It's also important to people, and we are made in the image of God. Okay, so here's the thing that happens. When you do something for somebody, and then somebody doesn't really respond the way we expect, and there's no gratitude shown. If you are the recipient of ingratitude, you are always very aware that there has been a lack of gratitude. However, on the other side, the person that we would say is ungrateful, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but the person that we would say is being ungrateful is often not aware that they are being ungrateful. So have you ever had, and you don't have to answer this, and this is probably not one you want to answer, but have you ever had somebody say to you, I don't feel like you appreciate me? Don't raise your hand. But if that's ever happened to you, the first response I think that would probably come to you would be like, no, I appreciate you. Okay? The problem is that wasn't that you didn't appreciate them. The problem was you didn't communicate that you appreciated them. You didn't express it. And so what happens is, to the person that you did not express that to, they felt like they were not appreciated. They felt ingratitude. So even though you maybe felt gratitude, it felt like ingratitude to them because you didn't say anything. And that's why gratitude is very important. Gratitude is kind of like the oil in the gears of your relationships. So I remember when I was really young, we used to go to, I think, Napa or Main Auto Parts or something, and they had a little display about this big, and there were two sets of gears with two little cranks and different brands of oil. So they have regular oil and they have synthetic oil. And I remember turning the gears, it was fun, and the one with synthetic oil really did turn a lot better than the one with regular oil. I thought that was pretty cool. Now imagine if you just took the oil out of one altogether. Maybe they did that one time. They had no oil in one. So as you turn those gears, it's a lot more difficult to turn the one without oil. You can still turn the gears, and you can still make it do what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't work as well. It doesn't work as smoothly. The gears start to heat up. There's a little bit of friction, and they turn slower, and it's more difficult to turn them. And so I think gratitude and ingratitude are kind of the same thing. So when we express gratitude to others, it just smooths up the gears a lot. And it's really important. And I was actually thinking about something that happened to Rachel, and we had this conversation. And it was something like 2 years ago. She was looking for another vehicle because her car was burning a lot of oil. It still is, but it still runs, by the way. So she was looking for another car. And so the thing she was asking every time people call somebody is, does it burn oil? Because hers burned oil, so she wanted something that didn't burn oil. And she called this lady. This lady's like, oh, no. It never burns oil. I mean, none. Absolutely not. And she's like, oh, that's great. And she's like, yeah, in fact, it doesn't burn any oil at all. I haven't even had to change the oil in almost 2 years. That's how good this car is. So, and she's like, well, I think I'll pass on this one. So, I like to think of this as kind of the same thing. If we practice gratitude, it's kind of like changing the oil and keeping everything running smoothly. And if you don't, hey, you might get the car to run for 2 years without changing oil. It's possible and it happens. But it's probably not the best for it, and there's going to be a lot of wear and tear along the way. And that's the same way with your relationships. If you don't practice gratitude, you can still keep a relationship with your family and your friends. But without that gratitude, there's going to be a little bit of wear and tear along the way. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Okay, so gratitude is something that can derive the direction of your relationships with others, because it determines how much of yourself you're willing to trust to another person and how much they're willing to entrust to you. So as we think about this idea of gratitude, I'd like you to turn in the Bible to Luke chapter 17, and we are going to be looking at Jesus and some other people as they practiced and did not practice gratitude. So Luke chapter 17. Okay, so starting at verse 11, this is the story of the 10 lepers who were cleansed of their leprosy. All right. While he, Jesus, was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. So Galilee would have been where he was from, and Samaria obviously was the area of the Jews that weren't really Jews, right? They were kind of half Jews, so to speak. And so the Jews kind of looked down on them. It was their own group, and their religion was kind of was a little bit different. They sort of practiced Judaism, but it was a little bit different. Anyway, they were outcasts, and Jesus was going between here and Galilee, where he was traveling, on his way to Jerusalem. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance from him, met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, and by when he saw them, I think that means that he did not see them until they called out to him. When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." So they were far off. They called to Jesus. Jesus sees them. He calls back, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He doesn't go up to them. He doesn't talk to them anymore. None of that. And so it's a little bit different than his other miracles, because a lot of times he would go up and touch them, and then they would be healed and all of that. But in this case, he just yells to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, these guys, I don't know how they knew that this was Jesus. I suppose they knew that he was coming through town, but they knew that it was Jesus. And so he calls, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, I was thinking about this. I was like, where were these priests at? Like, how far away are these priests? And where do you know that the priests were? The priests were clearly in Jerusalem. And I spent a lot of time on Google trying to figure this out. And maybe some of you guys know, but apparently there were priests in other towns. The majority of priests would have been in Jerusalem, but apparently there were sometimes priests in other towns and villages and that sort of things, which they were different than rabbis. But anyway, we don't really know how far away the priests were. But if they were in this village, and he says, go and show yourselves to the priests, I sort of doubt that this particular village had any priests, okay? Especially if they're in the countryside, maybe they're far away from any larger towns. So I'm thinking that probably the priests were a distance away. It wasn't like they could just walk for 20 minutes and be at the priests. Okay, I think they were a little bit farther away than that. And in fact, maybe Jerusalem could have been the closest place that there was a priest. We don't exactly know, but I think it was a little bit farther than a 10-minute walk across the village. So, as they were going, they were cleansed. So, as they were in the process of going to the priest, they noticed that their leprosy was gone. And if they were going to Jerusalem, maybe it was the next day. You know, it might not have even been the same day. And it wasn't like Jesus said, go to the priest, they turn around and take two steps and they're cleansed. No, I think it was a space of time before they were actually cleansed. And so this is where they're at. They're cleansed. They realize that they're cleansed. And so now what do they do? And I think it's really interesting to note that the faith was pretty significant for them to go ahead and in faith start going towards the priest, especially if the priest is a long ways away. So they are stepping out in faith and they are taking action, and on the way, that action has healed them through the power of God. Okay, as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Okay, so he's actually, in a way, not even doing what Jesus told him to do, right? Because he was supposed to go to the priest. But he stops, he turns around, and goes back. And of course, he's going to go to the priest eventually. But think about what it was like to be a leper back then. You couldn't go to the temple, couldn't live with your family, couldn't be with your friends. You were basically an outcast. So you could not carry on life as usual. Like, imagine being, say, a young person and having all the dreams and all the expectations for the future, and then finding out you had leprosy. What would that do to you? And what would that do to your future? It would pretty much end it. It would be pretty much over. Everything that you had wanted would no longer be an option, because at this time, they didn't have a cure for leprosy. They didn't just heal, you know, 50% of them. It wasn't like that. You were just a leper for life. And so it was kind of a death sentence if you had leprosy. So if you had leprosy, your life as you wanted it to be was now over. And not only that, there were some really bad things that would happen to your limbs from the disease and all of that. So it's not a good thing at all. And so a lot of times these lepers would live out in their own colonies or villages and that sort of thing. Okay, so think about it. These people, their lives were over as they knew them. Jesus is basically their only shot at getting healed. And it's not just getting rid of the disease. It's actually getting your whole entire life back. It's getting back all the dreams that you had, all the things you wanted, all the expectations, and all the joys that come along with that. And so you couldn't do any of those things. So now that they know that they're healed, so instantly they got their lives back, right? But before their lives could start over, they had to get a clean bill of health from the priest. So before they could go home and see their families, before they could go back to their home communities, they had to see the priest. So as soon as they realized they were healed, they had probably been walking, right? As soon as they saw they were healed, think they kept walking slowly, or do you think they ran and sped up? Yeah, of course they probably sped up, because they wanted to get the clean bill of health so that they could get back to living their lives and they could get back to seeing the people that they wanted to see. And that's completely understandable, right? I think we would all do the same, except for one person. Instead of going to the priest, he turns around and heads in the opposite direction. And he goes back to Jesus. So he saw it as important to praise God and to thank the one who had healed him before he went on living his life as if nothing had happened. Verse 16, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. So think about that. Jesus, when he asked the question, it's almost like he's being a little, you know, he's like, because he knew they were healed, right? But he's like, is nobody else healed? Are you the only one? Like, did it only work for one person? That only one man is healed and the other 9? Like, did they just not get healed yet? Like, what's happened? And he knows that they were healed, clearly. He knows what happened, but he's asking this question to just get at the root of what's going on. And it's like, why? Why did they not return? Like, why is only one person grateful enough to come back and give glory to God? Where are the other 9? And I think what happens is any time that there is a lack of gratitude, we know that there is something unfinished. So it's like a circle, right? And there's just a little piece in the circle that's missing. So it's really obvious when it happens on a small scale to us. So if you give a child a piece of candy, or say when you were a child and somebody gave you a piece of candy, and you're like, oh, cool. And then what do your parents do? What do you say? Right? Thank you, right? That's what they want. They expect you to say thank you. I've seen it so many times, and I'm pretty sure it happened to me as well. It's probably happened to a lot of you. But that's what happens. As a little kid, you get the candy, and you're like just going on about life. Like, you don't even, it's like, cool, I got the candy. Now I can move on. But your parents are like, no, stop. Say thank you. And they realize, and we all realize as adults, that there's something a little bit unfinished. You were given something. Now you need to express your gratitude. But then as adults, I think a lot of times we kind of forget that. And it's a little bit easier to just sort of move on. And we're actually a lot more like children sometimes than we realize. There are so many things that have happened in our lives that we are not responsible for. So many people that have contributed to get us where we are. Think, for example, your parents and your community are huge in getting you where you are today. So a lot of the good things that we have, we really ought to be grateful for, because on our own, we probably would not have achieved those things or have those things. You probably would not be as well-adjusted as you are today if you'd grown up with one parent and going to public school in the middle of the city, okay? But how grateful are you that you have what you had instead? And I don't think we think about it that much, but it's really true that we are not responsible for nearly as much of our success and happiness and peaceful lives as we think we are. And so I think it's very important that we express that gratitude. And here's the thing. If I would ask any of us if we are grateful for where we are in life, if we're grateful for the opportunities we have, if we're grateful for the community we have, we would all say, yep, that's me, I'm grateful. But we don't often think about expressing it. And the same is true of these 9 lepers. If you had stopped them when they left the temple or from talking to the priest and said, hey, are you grateful that you were healed? They would be like, absolutely, I am really grateful. I am so thankful. Like, wow, this is great. Okay, I'm pretty sure that's what they would have said. I don't think any of the lepers would have been like, eh, maybe a little. I don't think they would have said that. No, not at all. Yet they didn't go back to Jesus and thank him. And clearly that is significant because Jesus mentioned it. and it meant something to Jesus. So something was going on there. And I believe that God loves gratitude and loves when it is expressed. So these people had gotten their lives back. They didn't express any thanksgiving for it. And Jesus knew that something was a little bit wrong with that picture. Something was not quite complete yet. So someone once said that feeling gratitude and not expressing it is a lot like wrapping a present and then never giving it away. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Feelings of gratitude and then not expressing it is a lot like wrapping a present and then never giving it away. The thing is, unspoken gratitude. So even the gratitude that we're pretty confident these lepers had, because they didn't say anything, it feels like ingratitude, doesn't it? So if you do something nice for somebody and they say nothing, it feels like ingratitude. But maybe they are grateful, but they just haven't said anything. And so I think it's important for us, because a lot of times I think, and probably you think, that, well, I feel grateful, I feel thankful, and that's enough. But to the other person, they don't know that. And so you can begin to drive a wedge between you and others. So I was really curious about some of this dynamic. And so I did a little bit of research and a little bit of digging. And something I came across was the factors that make a person likable or not. And I thought it was really interesting. Okay, so the factors that make a person likable. I'm really curious. What do you think? Like, just name off one or two or three of what you think makes a person likable. Like, the most likable people. They did a research study where they analyzed, like, hundreds of people. What do you think the factors are that make a person likable? Or the number one factor? Optimistic? Okay. I'm sorry, what? Friendly? Okay. Thankful? A ready smile? Okay, those are all good. Okay, so here's actually what they found. The number one factor in what made a person likable was whether or not they liked other people. Okay, so the people that liked the most people were in turn liked by the most people. It had nothing to do with their charm, it had nothing to do with their humor, and it had nothing to do with their intellect, or their looks, or their mannerisms. The only thing, obviously those things probably contributed a little bit, but basically you can have somebody that had charm, looks, humor, good personality, but if they did not like other people, they were still not well liked. And then you could have people who were not as good looking, who were not funny and not as smart, but they liked other people and they were well liked. So I thought it was really interesting. So the people that are well liked are those that like other people. And they also found in the study that it was impossible to fake, which I'm pretty sure we all know that already. It can't be faked. It has to be genuine. And so basically what that, it proves a lot. And if you think about it, look at people that you know that are liked by almost everybody. Generally, no matter who they talk to, little kids, older adults, their peers, you can tell by their body language and their mannerisms and their speech that they like the other person. They might not even be close friends with them. They might have nothing in common, but you can tell they like them, and then that other person, in turn, you will see that they like them back. It's very interesting to watch. Just watch it sometime. Okay, so what I learned from that, and what is actually very, very obvious, I think that we can all see it, but we don't really think about it, is that we move towards acceptance of other people, and we move away from their rejection. Okay, we move towards acceptance and we move away from rejection. That's why people like the people that like them, and that's why they dislike the people that dislike them. Okay, we're really basic creatures. Okay, so ingratitude is a very subtle form of rejection that starts pulling or pushing people apart a little bit. So what it does is it builds a very small barrier between people. And you can, if you meet another person's generosity and kindness with ingratitude over and over and over, it's very subtle, but slowly you can ingratitude them right out of your heart, right out of your life. You can drive a wedge between yourself and another person if you don't appreciate them, and they can do the same to you. That's why it's very important. And I don't think we realize that's what's happening, because it's so subtle. It's like you don't know what it is. But it's just this tiny little thing that when we are met with ingratitude, it drives a wedge within a relationship. And we do, honestly, if you do something nice for somebody, if you do something kind for them, and you are met with nothing, you feel a little bit rejected. It's like if you give somebody a nice present, and they're like, oh, wow, thank you, I love it, this is fantastic. Like, how kind of you. Okay, that feels really nice. Really, yeah, we might do that again sometime. But if they're like, oh, well, I mean, this shirt is the wrong color, do you have the receipt? Well, suddenly, it's like, okay, well, I know what I'm getting them for next Christmas. Something I got at Goodwill, probably. So that's kind of how it works. And unexpressed gratitude, sometimes, not all the times, but I think sometimes it is based in an overinflated view of ourselves. So if it's hard for me to express gratitude toward another person, it may be because I think that I'm way up here and I don't really have to. So it's sort of like if somebody does something nice for a king, the king doesn't really have to say thank you because he's the king. And he's sort of, everything's already kind of his, right? So I think that's the same for all of us. If we don't express gratitude, I may be like, maybe I'm really something and I don't have to express gratitude. So I think it's really important to search our hearts and be like, am I humble? Do I have humility in my life? Or am I raising myself above another person to the point where it's hard for me to express gratitude? Because gratitude is a sign of awareness, humility, and perspective. And I think it's important for all of us to realize that we owe a debt of gratitude towards others. So that awareness is that things don't necessarily have to be this way. I mean, they didn't have to pass you the beans, right? So maybe they passed you the beans, like, take the beans and, like, dish on your beans and, like, move on. They didn't have to do that. So why not thank them for that? You were not owed that at all. And you are not owed dinner when you get home in the evening. You really are not owed anything. So I think we need that awareness that we really aren't, and that what we do have is gifts. I think we also need humility, because humility is truly who we are and where we are, and realizing that maybe we are not way up here like we think. We are just normal, everyday people, just like everybody else. And humility to recognize that and to be thankful for what we do have. And also perspective. We need perspective, because perspective helps us see how things could be and how things may be for somebody else. So I know that I've already been, you know, got my coffee made wrong and been like, coffee wrong, that's not cool. But then I have to sit back and realize, okay, so I'm not working because I live in America and I'm wealthy enough to take some time off and go to a coffee shop and pay somebody to make me coffee. Well, that's pretty cool. And it's a luxury. And now I'm feeling in my heart complaining about that they didn't do it right. And really, I could be, you know, making bricks for 14 hours a day in Bangladesh or something. And that would be a lot worse than this. So I think sometimes we need awareness to realize that it's actually pretty good. Okay, so these 9 men had been healed of leprosy and they said nothing. But I do believe that they were grateful and they got their lives back. And so I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? Each one of us also got our lives back. So you say we had leprosy of the heart, and that leprosy has been healed. And our lives are before us because of that. And we have the gift of eternal life. And that is super valuable, and I think it's very important. That alone should make us grateful people in every area of our lives, because we have been given such a great gift. And even though we grew up in Christian environments and we weren't living in the world, doing all of the horrible things that many of those people have done in the world, I think sometimes we forget that we have actually really been saved sometimes from sin. But the truth is we've also been saved. We've been saved from sin and death, the same as anybody else. But we've also been saved from having to go through all the pain and suffering that a lot of those people have to go through. Even those that do become saved, they have a lot more heartache to deal with than what we have. And that is a huge blessing to be grateful for. I think that is something we forget to thank God for, but it's something that we owe to Him. We have a huge debt of gratitude. So if something means something to us, I believe we should express it. So if you are ungrateful to God for what God has given you, just like those nine lepers, would God give you more to be ungrateful of with that? So it's the lepers were grateful, probably. They didn't express it. And so did Jesus. It was significant enough that He mentioned it. It's like, is this the only one that has thanked God? And so I think that's very important for us because it was important to Jesus. And it's not just enough to feel it. We have to express it. And the thing is, we're not going to express it in the same way because everybody's different. So somebody might be jumping up and down and yelling and hollering because maybe that's a little bit more their personality. Another person may be entirely different and more reserved in their expression of gratitude. And that is 100% fine. That is no problem at all. So now, talking about gratitude, and probably some of you are thinking, as I have thought for the last week or so, like, I should be more grateful for this, and this, and this, and this. All of these things where I probably don't express it enough to other people in my life, right, that I'm grateful. And I'm like, well, if I start expressing it, especially after I get up and talk to you guys, they'll know I'm just doing it because I preached on it and I have to do it. And maybe you guys are thinking, well, if I start doing this, then this family member, this person, well, they're only doing it because John mentioned it, you know, on Sunday morning. But you know what? That's how people think, and that really doesn't matter, okay? Because it's worth expressing regardless. It really doesn't matter. And if that's the way I was feeling, maybe if that's the way you're feeling, it's actually basically pride, isn't it? Because we're worried that somebody else is going to think they're only doing it because they were told to do it. And I know I've done this before. I've waited, you know, 3 weeks after a sermon to start practicing it so that nobody knows that that's why I was doing it, as if I thought of it on my own, which I didn't. So that's just my challenge to you. Don't let that happen, because really that's only pride. And I think that's really easy to fall into. I know it is for me. Maybe it's really easy for you guys. I don't know. But for me, it's a challenge. So I just like to challenge you as well to go ahead and practice gratitude. Gratitude is very valuable and helpful to you as well as a person. Because what it does is it changes the way you see the world. And it's actually very beneficial. There's a lot of benefits to gratitude, apparently, like health benefits and just in general, there are a lot of benefits. The thing about gratitude is that, okay, there's two things that mess people up the most, and that is fear and anger. Okay, these are two of the biggest things that hinder people in their lives. And it's impossible to be fearful and grateful same time. It's impossible to be angry and grateful at the same time. So if you practice gratitude, it pushes fear and anger out of your life. And that is very helpful for setting up your life to be the way it needs to be. And so I was doing a little bit more research, and this is something I've known for quite a long time, but that our environments have a lot more to do with us than we think, as in our environments control our thinking more than we realize. And I think it's something like, I forget, it's well over half of the way we think is controlled by our environment. We think that our thoughts are our own thoughts and that we think them and we're in control, but it's actually not as true as we like to think. So our environments control that. And they actually did a study. They took 200 actors and they went out and they sent these actors out. And they would go up to strangers, and they would be holding a cup of coffee. And they would be like, here, hold this. And then they would look down so that they couldn't say no. So they would take the coffee, and then they would adjust their phone. Like, just something random and mean. Just for a minute, adjust their phone, put it in their pocket, and take the coffee back. Say thank you and move on. So these 200 actors were told to do the exact same facial expressions, say the exact same words, behave in the exact same way. So they did this to 200 people. The only difference was half of them had iced coffees and half of them had hot coffees that they had the other person hold. That was the only difference. So that was the only variable. Okay, well, a little while later, they sent out a research analysis guy. So he goes up with a clipboard and says, hi, I'll give you $20 to take part of a little survey. And so all you have to do is read these three paragraphs. So, of course, they would be like, yeah, I'll do that. So they would read these three paragraphs, and it was three paragraphs, and it was kind of a little story. And the main character of the story, at the bottom, they're like, how would you rate the main character of this story? Like, what would you describe him as? And it's interesting, 81% of the people that were given iced coffees said that this character was cold and uncaring. And then 80% of the people that were handed hot coffees said that the same character was warm and caring. Okay? So if you think about that, that's pretty crazy. Just something so small in the environment of this person could shape their thinking. And there are hundreds of examples of studies that have been done like this, where your environment shapes the way you feel about something, because it's actually, it's not your intellectual thoughts, it's your it's like the biophysiological feelings that you get affects your thoughts. So it's kind of complicated. But anyway, so all that to be said, if we get up in the morning and we just go about our days without feeling the gratitude that we have, then it will change the way we live that day. So I think it's very important for us to take time to be grateful for all of the important things in our lives. And that will trigger, that will start your environment going, that will change the way you think about your environment, and that it will change the way you face gratitude throughout the day. Because you are going ahead and you are setting up that environment yourself, and instead of letting the world around you set up that environment with all the negativity and all the ingratitude, because there is a lot of it out there. But you're going ahead and getting a head start on that. So I think it's very important. Very important to think of the things we are grateful for. No matter what a person wants, whether it's, you know, health or wealth or to have a new big house or to have a different vehicle or to have a certain relationship or to find love, or whatever it is, no matter what a person wants, deep down, the only reason that anyone really wants anything is because of the feelings we get from having it, that we think we get from having it. So really, it boils down to happiness and contentment. But the truth is that we can have happiness and contentment now if we are grateful for what we already have. We really don't need anything else to have happiness and contentment, because if we're grateful, we can have it right now. And there's so much, if you think about, if you take a minute to think about all the things you have to be grateful for, it's a huge, huge list. And it will change the way you approach your life, and it will change the way you approach your spiritual life. So I think it's very important for us. And my question to you today is, are you going to be one of the nine, or are you going to be the one? Are you going to be one of the nine, or are you going to be the one? Will you express that gratitude? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all of these people here. Lord, I thank you for every moment that you have given to us, every moment that has led to this day. Thank you for the hard times that make us appreciate the good times. Thank you for the lessons that we have learned that we needed to learn for our development. Lord, thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for hope. Thank you for healing. Thank you for the life that you've given to us and the opportunity to live where we live today in freedom. And thank you, Lord, that we have eyes to see your blessings, and that we have hands and feet that we can use in your work and to bless other people. Thank you for the fantastic gifts that you've given to us. And most of all, thank you for salvation and healing, Lord, that you have given to us as your children. And thank you for saving us from the lives that we could have had, and giving us lives filled with purpose and meaning and a close community of believers that we could fellowship in, Lord. So many people do not have that, and it is really a gift, and it's not something that we are owed, but it's something that you've given to us out of the kindness of your heart, and Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that you bless each person here and bless this day, and I pray that you bless us as we go from here, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.